What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of X Knows All. I want to preface this episode by saying I know that this particular episode has been getting a lot of traction on the Shannon Ford subreddit, and I'm 1000% so grateful for this little tiny show to discuss this particular topic because it's something that I've been following for the past couple of years. I also want to be very clear at the very beginning. This is not in any way to dispel any lies or untruths. Everything that I'm going to report is directly from either Shannon, James, or from public record. And I think what's so interesting about this entire saga, this influencer gate with Shannon Ford, is she is so detailed in what she presents in her life through either her Instagram, her TikTok, his tweets. They're so transparent about seemingly every element of their life that it was so easy to dig up receipts, tweets, records. You know, these things are available at the stroke of the fingertip. So I also want to preface that there's a lot of my OG listeners that aren't familiar with the subreddit that have no idea who Shannon Ford and James Middleton are. So this whole episode is going to be trying to appease both parties, right? Because I want to be as detailed as possible with really the facts of the case. I'm talking about this like this is a freaking true crime episode, but I really want to be very detailed in how I present each and every instance of this entire saga, this entire relationship as possible. And that also means discussing details that Redditors are familiar with. But I'm really excited because I have Sophie Ross on the podcast today as my guest. And if you guys aren't familiar with Sophie Ross, one, you should definitely follow her. But she's really known in the influencer world as a truther. She unveiled the entire Ariel Charnas Something Navy saga back in 2022 when that Business Insider article came out. She was the one to unearth Tinx's unveiled tweets about calling Kim Kardashian fat. She is always just kind of looking for the truth and the problematic nature of these influencers. And so I thought, who better than Sophie to bring onto the show? And she's just a friend of the pod, a friend of mine. So I'm really excited to kind of dive into these details alongside with her as someone like Sophie, who's not as familiar with the entire saga of Shannon. She understands the bits and pieces, but she's not as certainly not as well-versed into the entire topic as I am. So I'm very excited to have her as a guest on the show today. I will, of course, be linking every single article, YouTube video, or podcast episode, you know, TMZ articles, everything that I'm going to be referencing in today's episode will be in the show notes with links, as well as Sophie and I's social handles. So go ahead and go into the show notes description to kind of follow along as I talk about this episode with Sophie. And you can kind of maybe pause the podcast episode and click on everything that I'm talking about because it'll make the listening a bit easier. But in any case, I'm so excited for you guys to listen. And without further ado, let's welcome Sophie Ross on the show. All right, welcome back. We have the one and only, a very special guest, Sophie Ross on the show today, and I'm so excited to dive into the Shannon Ford and James Middleton of it all. How are you doing today, Sophie?
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. And I guess let's maybe start with like how this came about, because we were literally just like talking the other day. Like we were just like talking, and did you bring up Shannon Ford?
Yeah, so let's paint a story for the listeners. And I did give a quick debrief up top so they do know what we're diving into today. And really quick, before we dive into how this episode inceptionized in and of itself, I want to shout out Sophie really quickly. If you don't know who she is, which you probably, I'm assuming if you follow me, you probably also follow Sophie. But Sophie is an amazing Substacker. She has an incredible Twitter. She has a podcast of her own, which, by the way, are you still running that?
It's on hiatus right now, but I do have plans to bring it back in 2024. It was not my choice. I will get into that when I relaunch my podcast, but stay tuned. But
I love
either
that.
Way, I'm on Ryan Bailey's podcast every other Monday for Pop Culture Roundup, so you can listen to me there in the meantime.
I was listening to, so it's called So True with Sophie Ross, and I was listening to the Ariel Charnas episode because we did an episode on Ariel Charnas back, like I think it was last year when her entire persona, influencer career, Something Navy started to blow up and Business Insider released that article. And I had you on my show and I kind of really come to you for a source of, well, truly the truth for influencers. So I thought no better person than Sophie Ross to join me on today's episode. But I guess going back to your point, Sophie and I were FaceTiming about some other influencer like podcast drama. And for whatever reason, I brought up Shannon Ford and she was like, wait a minute, if you can speak Shannon Ford's story from start to finish, like I'm on board to talk about this with you. And I think, what is your overall thoughts and feelings on Shannon Ford? Like, what's your history with her?
So the thing is, like, I feel like you are a Shannon Ford historian in this, and I compare it to like me being, for example, am a Caroline Calloway historian. Like, there are certain internet figures that some of us hyper fixate on. And I feel like Christy, like Shannon Ford is your Roman Empire, is your Caroline Calloway. And so I was like, how fun would that be if we did an episode? Because I'm pretty indifferent towards her. Right now I am. I feel like towards the end of the episode, I'm no longer going to be indifferent, but I just don't know a ton about her other than what I have found, you know, through you and on this 13-page Google Doc that you have so thoroughly compiled. I only know her from Kristen Cavallari's reality show and for allegedly pretending to be engaged or like getting engaged while she's already allegedly married and also spending beyond her means. Those are like the three things I know about her. So I'm like super excited to dive in.
Did you watch Very Cavallari on E?
I did. I watched like, I think 80% of it. There are probably a few episodes that I like didn't watch.
Okay, so I'm actually really glad that you said yes, because I didn't know that you were a fan of that show or had watched this show.
Yeah.
So what? I didn't watch Very Cavallari. I've watched a few clips here and there on YouTube through researching for the episode, but I'm curious, what was her MO on the show? What was her character like?
She was kind of, if I recall correctly, she was like the troublemaker. She was like the employee, because she was an employee. Isn't it funny that like, if you think about it, like she is like it's all connected to like Laguna Beach. Originally. Yeah,
it always starts to Laguna Beach. Everyone knows that this show is a Laguna Beach historian podcast.
Everything ties back to Laguna Beach, literally.
Yeah.
So Kristen Cavallari, it's about her. And it was back when she was married to Jay Cutler also. So she's starting her store in Nashville. Shannon Ford is her employee. And Shannon was kind of like, I don't know, I can hardly remember because it was so many years ago, but she was like late. She was kind of a troublemaker. She had sass. She had like a fiery side, like the fiery redhead. And that's essentially all I remember about her. It wasn't like the most remarkable or memorable show, hence why it was, you know, eventually canceled after 2-3 seasons. So yeah, that's really all I remember about her is that she was sassy. And I remember that I think there was like some boy drama also, but nothing remarkable. And so, you know, when I would, you know, observe her kind of gaining a following on social media and her own podcast, I was like, huh, that's really interesting. I was like, good for her. Like the fact that she went from being like, barely memorable side character on a reality show to actually having, you know, a substantial following. I'll give her that. Like, I know that we're going to talk a lot of shit, but I will give props. I'll give credit where it's due that she has built a following.
Exactly. That is what I put at the top of this document. So when I was watching a couple of the YouTube clips, you know, Shannon lasted just beyond one season. She was kicked off the show. She was fired by Kristen Cavallari.
She was fired. Yes.
Yeah. And there's a lot of clips. It seems through podcast episodes that she's done since she got fired. She was on the Clickbait podcast episode with Tayshia and Natasha and Grocery Store Joe. And she said, my ass got kicked off the show. I didn't leave it voluntarily. She says she's never spoken with Kristen since the day she left the office, except for Kristen had reached out to her for, I guess, a password because Shannon was the social media director of Uncommon James. So she had all, you know.
Also Uncommon James. Like, does anyone, I'm sorry to like pivot really quickly. Does anyone buy or wear Uncommon James?
Okay, this is so embarrassing. So when I was in Nashville.
Oh my God, you're going to tell me that you own Uncommon James.
No, it's even worse. So when I was in Nashville in end of 2022, I was with four of my girlfriends. And mind you, we're all not white. Like there's two Latin girlies, me and my other friend who's Chinese, and then my fifth friend who's Persian. I dragged them to the Uncommon James store. And I have video footage. I need to find it from somewhere. I was trying, you know, I was shopping around. I dragged them to this fucking place just because I'm like a Laguna Beach stan. My
Wait,
friends,
was it because you're a Laguna Beach stan or a Shannon Ford historian?
this was way before my Shannon Ford like obsession. So this was pre-Shannon Ford. I don't even think I really even knew who Shannon was Ford was at this time, which
Oh my
honestly
God, I
makes this
love that
story
about you.
more embarrassing. So it was me and like we always say we're like the brownest people like in Nashville. And all my friends were scared. They were in this corner, like, are we gonna get, like, what is going on? This is just scary. It's all these blonde girls like running through the store. It was just, we always bring it up. Like, remember that time when Chrissy dragged us to Uncommon James, the elementary Will?
Did, so you
But,
didn't get anything?
oh, I own like several pieces. It's really embarrassing and I never wear them. No, I know. This is so embarrassing
You never
because
wear them.
I don't really wear jewelry, so I don't know why I even purchased anything from there.
Oh my God, that's so fun. Wait, I'm dying. I'm
It's
dying. Also,
truly so embarrassing.
I feel like before we get into like the meat of the ew, I like hate that I just said that word. But
I
like the
say it all the
meat
time.
of the episode, let's just like we were just talking about like voices. I just want to, before everyone, I'm just gonna own it before everyone else can make fun of me for it. I know that I, you know, have vocal fry. I know that I have a little bit of upspeak. And you know, that's just me. That's just me being me.
Thank you
So
so much for saying that because I read a lot of things on Reddit that say Christy has nails on a chalkboard voice. And you know what? I can't help it. Like, this is just my voice.
no, we can't help it. And I know actually, you know, we were just, you know, having a little sidebar about Alex Cooper for no reason. Sophia Franklin, I think, has been taking voice, like she has like a voice coach to help change her voice. And I'm like, that's so sad. I like Sophia Franklin. I think that like her Valley Girl, quote unquote, not my words, what other people, you know, describe her as. I think that it is endearing. So, you know what? Just let women, because you never ever see men getting critiqued for the way they talk. Just
Amen. Thank you.
saying.
Thank you so much for saying that at the very beginning because I already know that this podcast episode is very anticipated. And I'm very happy for the platform. And we're really excited that a lot of people are going to be tuning into this episode. But please be kind when you're talking about our voices. It may be the first time you're hearing our voices and we can't help it. So just please, we beg you to be a bit kinder when it comes to things we can't help.
Yes. Thank you
Thank you
for
for
articulating that.
addressing that at the very beginning because honestly, Sophie and I were talking about this before we pressed record, and we both have a little bit of nerves about this episode because we know the reach it's already received on Reddit, and we know that this is like big shoes. What is it
Yeah.
called?
There's a lot of hype.
There's a lot of hype on it, and so we don't take that lightly. So we really want to be, again, I said this at the very beginning. We're presenting so many facts, and that really the most interesting part I think about Shannon Ford's life is how detailed she is in her documentation of everything in her life, every step of the moment, from the moment she wakes up to the second she goes to bed, and it's all documented on Instagram stories, TikTok, her fiance slash husband's Twitter,
Lames.
lames.
That's another thing I know about her is that we call her fiance slash husband lames.
Lames. And again, if you guys are not familiar with her subreddit, you have to become a member. It's just so funny. The people on there are straight up comedians. Sometimes I'll be belly laughing because they are so funny. Like, it's the smartest chicks, maybe some men in the universe. So let's dive into this. Let's talk about Shannon Ford before her start. And I totally echo what you're saying about the way that she was able to pivot her influencer career into something actually like a huge thing. She has a huge audience. And I think it's a lot to be said for someone who has this really short stint on reality TV that's able to pivot and really expand this really loyal following. And she's doing live podcast tours. She signed on with Dear Media. Obviously, that was a branch because she was part of Toast News Network. But, you know, she's really built this insane following and people really love her. And I think the reason people really admired and followed her whole journey was because she had this relatability factor. And I don't know if this was something that came across on Very Cavallari, but from based on what I've read, Shannon pre-Lames, it seems like she was kind of just said what was on her mind. She wasn't this prim and proper Southern girl. She just seemed very relatable. I don't know if that's how she came across on the show in terms of a relatability factor.
I think so. I would say, yeah. I would say, yeah, that she was relatable. I can see there's definitely like a you know, she's endearing, she's personable. There are all of these things where you can like see why she has gained a following. So Shannon, if you're listening, we're complimenting you.
Really? I was a follower of hers before, like a very light follower. I wouldn't say a huge follower. Before
you became a snarkler, you were like a fan.
Exactly right. Yeah. Before I was a snarker, I was following her lightly. I listened to a couple of her podcast episodes. I enjoy kind of following along on the journey. And I think what's really interesting is so much of her persona today is focused around her relationship. And I want to quickly dive into her relationship before Lames, which was with this man named John Gurney, who was also appearing on the show very cavalierly. And for those of you who are unfamiliar, she was dating.
That's the guy she was dating.
Yes, the dark-haired guy. He's actually very handsome. I think he's super, super attractive. She's dating this aspiring musician named John Gurney. And I don't know much about their dynamic, but it seems based on what she said about him currently, she says that they had an amicable breakup, but there was this TikTok that she posted and someone responded, basically insinuating that she pays for everything for Lames, which we'll get into further down in the episode. But this commenter said, quote, "You seem like a pro at asking for the bill. I guess paying for everything for your boyfriend has trained you well." And then she responded 46 minutes after the comment, or 46 minutes later, "No, he and I broke up in 2021. So she's essentially insinuating that John Gurney was kind of broke and she had to pay for everything. Was that a topic on the show? Because I see that brought up a lot on the Reddit.
I don't think so. I mean, again, I hardly remember the show, but I don't recall that being like a substantial like plot point.
Honestly,
it was really not memorable, but I remember, weren't they a little like on and off?
That could be correct. I know.
I remember him being like a struggling musician for sure. So yeah, yes. Struggling, like a starving artist vibe, you know.
Exactly. And I think people come to Nashville with these big dreams and they may not reach fruition or whatever it may be. But I think as Shannon's career, it seemed as if her career was really skyrocketing after she got off the show, which again was kind of like lightning in a bottle, which is not necessarily the norm for all influencers that just happen to go off of shows. And it seemed as if her life was really taking this huge trajectory. Yeah. Maybe John wasn't aligning with her in the same path. That's essentially the way that I've taken it. Again, I didn't watch the show, but this is what I've gathered through what I've read on Reddit. So let's fast forward to who she was post-John, pre-Lames, just living her life. So the way that I got introduced to Shannon was I started listening to her on Claudia Ochsner and Jackie Ochsner's The Toast. And say what you want about them. Like, this isn't even a podcast to get into The Toast. And I know that can be a controversial topic. But they really have spotlighted their friendship with Shannon. They went to Stagecoach with Shannon in 2023. She had her probably a podcast on The Toast News Network before it was acquired by Dear Media. And I think the thing that really made me very fascinated about Shannon Ford was really this one comment that Claudia had made that kind of made me interested in who she was all about. Claudia had this anecdote on the show one time, and I don't know the date of the episode, but I remember hearing it, where she said when Shannon, I think, was living at that time in New York City, and they had gone to a Chanel store, and Claudia remembers, Shannon just picked up like multiple items at the Chanel store and just bought it right there on the fly. And Claudia was saying, you know, I was like, I got one piece from the Chanel store and Shannon just bought multiple items. And I remember thinking, my God, a Chanel purse. The most expensive bag I own is a YSL purse, and I would never do it again. Like, I would never buy a designer purse. That's my own financial investment.
Well, also, it's like when you get a designer bag, it's like a big deal. Getting like one designer item is a huge deal. I mean, to us.
Yes.
Like, obviously not to, you know, some people, but that's crazy. How did Claudia and Shannon get involved?
That's a great question. So I don't know exactly how they became friends, but I do know that I believe that when basically Shannon moved to New York City and I think Claudia and her started to become a bit closer. This was Shannon, we'll get into this, but Shannon was doing dual time in both Nashville and New York City. And at some point, the Toast News Network had signed Shannon's podcast onto their news network. So I guess you could think of it, I don't know obviously the contract, I don't know, but Toast News Network was Shannon's boss. So they had this kind of employer-employee relationship, but they also are friends. And Claudia and Jackie have that with a lot of the folks on the Toast News Network. I know they signed Lauren Elizabeth, like Mood podcast. I don't think she's doing that anymore, but they have a lot of like friendships with these people who have podcasts on their network.
Wait, so why did Shannon, and I feel like we're probably going to get into this, did they have a falling out? Like, why did she end up going to Dear Media?
So Toast News Network got acquired by Dinner Media. So all the podcasts
I'm a dumbass. This is why Christy is explaining all the lore to me.
No, this is a good thing that these are questions, because a lot of my listeners that are unfamiliar with Shannon don't understand, like, how is this random girl having a podcast with, like, one of the biggest media podcast networks? So it was really just kind of an acquisition is how she got acquired Dear Media, which was over the past year. And so I remember just being astonished at her spending at the Chanel store. And when I started evaluating and looking at her life, I was like, this girl spends like no tomorrow.
Wait, that is crazy that Claudia, like, clocked that too, because Claudia – like, if anything, it should have been the other way around. Claudia has been an internet public figure for years and years. When Shannon was on Very Cavalier, nobody on a reality show, Claudia probably already had over 1 million followers.
Oh, absolutely. And Claudia has been doing this since early 2010s, right? And I think, and we won't get into the whole Claudia and Jackie, that could be a whole separate episode. But I think the reason that Claudia and Jackie have remained popular and have kept this really, really army of followers is because they do really, maybe Jackie not so much, but Claudia really has this relatability factor. And it's really that money talks, wealth whispers. We all know Claudia makes so much money. She kind of has this relatability factor where she doesn't really, she's not as ostentatious as someone like Shannon Ford, who's very much has, you know, quote unquote, new money, but flashes these designer bags left, right, and center. It's like Fendi, Chanel, Gucci, Prada, everywhere. Every time she puts an outfit of the day, there's a designer.
That's also like new money screams new money. It's the opposite of, you know, quote unquote, stealth wealth, quiet luxury, which Christy and I have also talked about in depth when it comes to like Sophia Richie. And that's a whole other episode too.
Right. Do you watch Succession?
Duh.
Oh my God. See, that's what when I started getting to Succession, I'm like, rich people do not want you to know that they're rich. They are the most
Look at Shiv. You look at Shiv's outfits on Succession. She's not wearing like Fendi baguettes or like Chanel flat bags.
This is why
that's fours to wear. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So Shannon Ford, let's pivot a bit into her life in New York City. So as I mentioned, she had her start in Nashville on Very Cavalier. Then she did this dual, I don't want to say, bicoastal, because it's not bicoastal, but you know what I mean. She had this like bicoastal life between Nashville and New York City. And she was featured on the Trading Secrets podcast with Jason Tardik in November 2022. And I re-listened to about 25 minutes of the episode. I had originally listened when it released, because again, Jason, I was so fascinated.
Like also having, I'm like the Segway queen, by the way. I'm like the most ADHD person ever, and I don't take my Vyvanse on the weekends. But Jason Tardik is also having drama right now with like Caitlin Bristow, his ex-fiance. Okay, sorry. Keep going.
No, but by the way, I'm very intertwined into that drama right now between the Caitlin, Zach Clark, Tayshia, and Jason Tardik of it all. The rhombus. I'm obsessed with Zach and Caitlin together. Like, say what you want, but I love it. What are your thoughts?
I know, I love it too. Okay, that's a whole other episode also. Anyway.
Whole other episode. But so she was on the Trading Secrets podcast in November 2022, and I just have a couple of quotes. She says, "Hotels in New York are another beast. I looked at my Amex one day, and the amount that I'm spending staying at the Dominic, which is a hotel in Soho, she said, I could pay on rent here." She goes to continue to talk, but she goes, "I couldn't give up living in Nashville." She explains that staying at the Dominic in Soho, the cheapest room would be about $450 a night, which I highly doubt. I stayed at the Standard in East Village and it was like $450 a night. And she goes, "I will be here," meaning New York City. And she said, "Every time I was inside of New York, something good would happen to me. I'd always extend my stay from 3 nights to 6 nights, and then I would be in New York City for like twice a month. And that would end up being about $5,000 a month." So she's basically saying that she made this financial decision to sign a 1-year lease in New York City on her own apartment at the hefty price of $7,000 a month. And not only was
That apartment, wasn't that apartment like stunning? It had an arched window.
Yes. And it had like floor to ceiling windows. It was stunning. Yes. I think it was in Soho, though I'm not exactly sure.
Well, like, and that tracks for her. If you are like a new money, like shopping addict, you're going to be in Soho.
There you see. I'm so glad I have New York City insider to tell
me. Yes. And for listeners who don't know us or me, I live in New York. I'm New York based. So,
yeah. Yep. Exactly. So she was paying $7,000 a month on this New York City apartment. She was also saying she said it wasn't close. She said it wasn't exactly double the amount of rent she was paying in Nashville, but she said it was close to double the amount of rent. So being an accountant, I just wanted to do the math really quickly. So let's assume conservatively she was paying $2.5K on her Nashville apartment, $2,500 plus a $7K on her New York City apartment. I'm assuming she explained her Nashville place as being a two-story home with a built-in garage. But let's just assume very conservatively, 2.5 plus seven. So that's 9.5K spent on rent alone. So if you multiply that by 12, that's $114,000 annually on rent alone.
Oh my God.
I can't even. So, and then if you add that to, she owns a boat as well. I don't own a boat, but I know it's very expensive to own a boat.
Oh my gosh. The cost of
purchasing the boat.
I didn't know. Okay. This is my first time learning that Shannon Ford owns a boat.
So it's not like a yacht. It's a kind of like a small boat, but regardless, no, a boat is a boat.
No, but boats are, I'm not going to segue. Don't segue. I was just somewhere with a boat and we were having lots of conversations about how expensive boats are to own, maintain.
Can they you are please? Yes. Tell the
so
class.
Expensive.
It's so expensive.
So expensive. It's a wealthy person's like hobby to have a boat.
Exactly. I equate it to, obviously it's not private jet money, but to even own a private jet, it's not just owning the jet, it's the maintenance fees, it's the hangar fees. Yes. And even the docking
fees. And when you're not there, docking fees, when you're not there to like take care of the boat, you have to pay someone else to take care of it. So someone who's traveling a lot, she has to like pay someone to maintain her boat.
Exactly. So if we're just assuming, again, the most conservative thing of like, let's say $1,000 a month to maintain this boat. That's 120K essentially out the door.
Like, just why are you as an influencer, as a 20 something influencer, buying a boat? Like who does that? I feel like that's like what retired dentists do.
And she is brought up, again, me being a Shannon Ford historian, she grew up on a lake. And this is actually something else that was brought up on the Trading Secrets podcast. I don't have an exact quote, but I recall just from my memory when I listened, she said that her family, they didn't have a lot growing up. Like she did not grow up wealthy whatsoever. Mm. So just my, I'm not a.
That tracks with her spending habits,
Exactly. I was going to say someone that grew up with not a lot, it's very, I would say, yeah, it makes so much sense.
It really does.
It really does. So I was like, oh, like a light bulb came off in my head. I was thinking, oh, okay, someone who self-proclaimed grew up with essentially nothing in a big family, you know, she's coming into all this cash, this liquidity very quickly. So she's spending it on these very frivolous items. I just think of like the investments that could be made and how much money she could earn towards a mansion.
That's someone with like financial literacy and someone who has, you know, parents that are like, you know, you should save, you should invest, think of like a down payment. Like that's what like normal, I feel like financially literate people would say, instead of let's blow this on a boat, an apartment in New York, a home in Nashville, 25,000 designer bags. Yeah.
Yeah. And if we think about even a designer bag at Chanel, average price, I don't own a Chanel bag. I had to look it up. $6,000 minimum.
Yeah.
Like it's very expensive. So if
you're buying more than one thing at a Chanel store, you are easily spending five figures and potentially six figures.
All this kind of really was my segue into being fascinated with her. It wasn't even so much like a adoration. It was more of just, I'm fascinated by the way this girl lives her life and the way that she spends her money. So that's kind of how I got into her. So really quickly, before we dive into her relationship with Lames, she purchased a home in Franklin, Tennessee, at the beginning of 2023. And it was an open lot. So it was a brand new build. They were starting from the ground up. She just bought the plot of land. And then it's kind of like a track home almost. It's a huge home, but all the homes look very uniform and consistent. So she bought this new build home. It was listed for over $1 million. And you could look all this up, public records. And she did an entire remodel of the brand new build, right? So they built this house from the ground
up. Why would they do a remodel of a new build?
Exactly. She wanted it to be custom designed to her own finishes. So if you are if you're a financially savvy person, right?
Yeah.
It's very important for you. If you want to do remodels, you get like the nastiest home in the best area. and you gut that thing and you build it
yeah.
for, you know, it's a flip, right?
Yeah.
So you spend $300,000 on this piece of shit place in a really nice apartment, really nice neighborhood, and then you gut it and you make it your own, right? But no, she got a brand new build. She took out the entire kitchen, Sophie, the entire bathroom, all of her doors. She just got removed and reinstalled with brand new doors this past week. She must have been hemorrhaging. This is not small little updates. It's gutting the entire thing.
Yeah. And that is not cheap to do.
Can you go into the document really quickly onto page onto page three? No, excuse me, page four. Look at the veining on her
Hold on. I am okay, wait, page four.
Yeah. Go to where my
Oh my God. Ew. I hate that.
It's so, if you guys, you can't see what we're seeing right now.
Well, they're not even good. They're not even good renovations.
No, like when you do marble like this, you have to have like the whole slab to install, not tiny little tiles, and all the veining is off. It just looks very discombobulated.
Cheap. It looks very budget.
It looks very budget, and it's very
ironic because it's like someone who clearly doesn't really have a budget in life.
Exactly. It's, and I was looking at, you know, the Redfin and the photos, like the place looked great. It didn't need a new remodel, but she wanted, and part of this whole thing was her best friend, Taylor, who is also on Very Cavallari. She bought the plot of land right next to her best friend. So Taylor, while Taylor was renovating her home, it's almost kind of like monkey see, monkey do. That's kind of my interpretation of it. Taylor,
like, she has no original thoughts, that she just like does what she thinks is like cool. And like,
it's so funny that you say that, because that's a Reddit flair, I think, or people always say that, like, no original thought of your own. And she self-proclaims it. She makes a joke on her Instagram, like, I have no original thought of my own, because
at least she can own it.
100%. Like, at least she's self-aware in that respect. But I think it's really interesting, again, the spending of the money, because Taylor's doing X, I'm going to do X. Taylor has new doors.
Yeah.
New doors.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. One last thing about her home. So her husband slash fiance, whatever you want to call him, he's obsessed. His whole brand is cold plunging. He loves a cold plunge.
Wait,
he loves a sauna.
Whose whole brand?
Lames.
Okay.
Yes. Lames. So he loves a cold plunge. Before she got this cold plunge installed into her home, she got something from Home Depot to make sure that he would get his cold plunges in because he was doing transatlantic flights between London, because her husband's from London, to Nashville. And in order to make him comfortable, she went to Home Depot, got this big tub so that he could cold plunge. And when they finally moved into their house, she got like a true cold plunge and sauna from this company called Redwood Outdoors Co.
And that is not freaking cheap.
I looked it up. So the cold plunge, the cheapest one was $1,200, and the cheapest outdoor sauna was $6,600. And if you look down, go to the document, look at all the wires and stuff hanging. They have a track home, right? So you can literally look into your neighbor's window. Imagine looking out of your window and seeing Lames half naked jumping in between the sauna.
Oh my God. They're so embarrassing.
And just look how tacky it looks. I would not want these cords wrapped around my house. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. They live in like a residential neighborhood. Like, yes. It's not like you have like, you know, a private, like, if you have a private backyard, I actually, my friend in LA has a very private backyard, and they're like very into fitness too. They have like the cold plunge, but like the budget version, not this version. In a good way, it looks good, but it's like, that's a private backyard sort of thing.
Exactly. And it's so
like, imagine like they have like toddlers next door.
No, and they do, because Taylor is like equally as much snarked on as Lames and Shannon. Like, people hate her. I don't follow her at all. Like, I don't really understand it. But I think she has young children. So like, imagine your young toddler like playing outside and you see literally Lames like jumping out of the cold plunge with his little like Speedo.
Wait, it's so funny. My sister-in-law's son, so like my nephew, he's like almost 2.5. And his thing right now is, what is that? Like, everything he looks at, he's like, what is that? So like, imagine you're like seeing Lames like walking into a sauna and then like diving into a cold plunge, and the toddler's like, what is that? It's like, how do you explain that to a toddler?
No, I don't even know how you would respond. That's the crazy part.
Like,
it's too much. So Now let's dive into the real meat and potatoes of this episode, because people are fascinated with the how they got together all the way up to the very end, baby.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the infamous Barcelona trip. So again, she documents
that's
her
how they met,
life.
Right?
Yes. So she has this podcast, probably a podcast, and there's this podcast episode. It starts at the 27 mark if you guys are interested. I'll link it in the show notes. But her and her friend Marissa decided to go on this trip to Barcelona. And I guess Marissa was originally planning on going, and then she ended up decided to tag along last minute. So this is – I watched the episode so you guys didn't have to, or you guys don't have to rewatch it. But as a refresher, she says that her and Marissa, they got this beautiful two-story suite in this beautiful hotel in Barcelona, because of course she gets a two-story suite when there's two girls. So she alleges that she sees these guys in Barcelona who would later turn out to be lames and a friend of his, who she says are very hot from a distance. So she says, quote unquote,
very hot. Not very our hot. Words.
Very hot. She says, we were walking down an alley, and the alley is just about 5 feet wide, and there's these two people that flip right by us, and we were like, did you see those two guys? And this is what her friend Marissa is talking about in the podcast. And Shannon goes, I don't think I'm over-romanticizing the story. I'll be desperado. And I just said, let's follow them. We had already made eye contact with these two guys. They saw us. We saw them. We walked a block in the wrong direction when they were originally intending to go to. She said, to follow these guys. And then we ended up losing them, and we went to this plaza. So they describe that it's a Tuesday night in Barcelona, and they were looking to party and rage, but they were left disappointed because not much was open. And they realized, okay, a party's not actually happening. We're fine to go back and call it a night. So they're on the opposite side of town at this point. They said it's merely 4 or 5 hours since they last saw Lames and the friend. And they say they decided to get gelato. Shannon goes in to get gelato, and they're very, very specific about all these tiny little details, because they're explaining that if none of these little details hadn't occurred, we wouldn't have run into these two men again on the streets of Barcelona. So they're really painting the serendipitous meet cute of some sorts, right? So they said all of a sudden we walk out of the gelato shop and we see those cute guys again. And so Shannon just said, you know what? Like, I'm just going to go up to them. So she makes it this entire – so begins the saga of this meet cute. They end up, you know, having drinks with these two boys. One of Lames' friend has a girlfriend. He calls it a night. Marissa later calls it a night. And I can't remember if they actually – I didn't listen to the rest of the episode, but – they definitely did hook up on that trip. She says that they ended up like sleeping together and all these things. And she was just smitten. And there's a ton of allegations. This is all alleged of whether or not this meet cute actually happened. I think if we take like this scenario just seems so unlikely, right? And there's a lot of theories on Reddit that this perhaps was a fictitious story that they did meet in Barcelona, but perhaps they allegedly
it was like
met
on an app.
On an app, like on Raya. And
it probably was Raya, because they're both influencers. What are the odds that they're both influencers?
Exactly. And what's crazy is she's a reality television star and he's actually a reality television star. He was on He was on this show called Survival of the Fittest. And I'm not familiar
with it. Oh my god, I hate him.
You gotta like, it's insane. So it's almost like a Love Island. There's these hot singles, young to mid 20 somethings on an island in South Africa, or sorry, sent to the South African savannah to take part in the ultimate battle of the sexes, involving mental and physical challenges. And they're also, you know, they're trying to romance the opposite sex. And what's interesting is before Lames had gone onto this show, he was dating apparently this kind of popular influencer. I'm not familiar with her, but she was on the show Made in Chelsea. And her name is Georgia Toffolo. I don't know if I'm pronouncing
Toffolo.
That correctly.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so people call her Toff. But I guess people were saying that he had this kind of MO for like dating influencers, right? He's dated this woman named Georgia Toffolo. They had this fairly public relationship. And she allegedly, from this report I saw in The Sun, quote, she split from James after discovering that he cheated on her with a girl named Annabelle Field, who bears a striking resemblance to Georgia. And
whoa.
Yes. And so he's allegedly a cheater from all of his ex-girlfriends who have very public followings. And interestingly enough, his other ex, her name is Elise Hutchinson, I believe, she was on Too Hot to Handle on Netflix.
What is so with him? Okay, so he's a clout chaser, obviously.
He's a clout chaser. Yes. So he has this history of dating these women who have this somewhat of a social following, right? And he goes on this reality show himself. So there's a this is why a lot of people think the riot theory could potentially hold weight because of, you know, they're both these celebrity, what you know what I call influencer personalities. What are the odds of two reality show personalities meeting on the streets of Barcelona? It just seems very unlikely. What are your thoughts on this theory?
I totally agree. Like, it's like never, never say never. It is possible, but it's very unlikely. And I think it's probably likelier that they met on Raya,
On a dating app.
Raya
Raya,
on a
yeah.
dating app, or like Bumble or Hinge or Tinder, like whatever it is, but probably Raya because they're both like quote unquote public figures. And has Shannon ever addressed the fact that he has like a cheating history?
I haven't seen it. If she has, I have not seen it.
I.
I think just based on, and like there's another girl. He's dated a lot of like very pretty women, like from London, and they have, again, a big social following, and they kind of, I don't have the exact tweets up, but they've shaded him, not by explicitly calling his name, but they've shaded him on tweets and everything. So it just seems based on his ex-girlfriends that he wasn't the best boyfriend. But again, I guess you could say that for any ex, but it just seems very interesting how all of his girlfriends had this same history in terms of being a public person.
Right. It's giving clout chaser.
It's giving clout chaser, exactly. And I think the reason why people were so upset about this relationship when it first started was because Shannon was in her single girl era. She had just moved to New York City. She had rented this $7,000 apartment. She was on her way to becoming like an NYC influencer, right? And she essentially was never living in that New York City apartment because, as self-documented on all of her stories on her podcast episodes, her and Lames were meeting. Either she was going to London, they were meeting, and they went to Portugal. They went to so they did so many international vacations, and it seemed as if she was dropping, seemingly dropping everything to be with this new man of hers. And people thought that their favorite influencer kind of lost her sense of independence for a man.
I can think of another, I'm not going to say her name, but I can think of another example of an influencer who preached, independence and blah, 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 and you're the main character. And then as soon as she got a boyfriend, that's all her content is. Like, that's just so disingenuous. And just like, I can see why her fans, her followers felt kind of like duped, you know?
Exactly, because for someone like Shannon, whose whole brand is realness and kind of telling it like it is, it seemed as if that part of her was almost withering away, and that's why I feel as if fans were like, we miss the, you know, they always say this when influencers get bigger, but we miss the old Shannon. Like, who's this guy you're following around, literally around the world, spending
When was this again? Was this in 2021?
this. Okay, actually, I'm gonna pull up the exact date. So this podcast episode, it's titled "Once Upon a Time in Barcelona, Part One." Okay, sorry, June 7th,
June
2022.
2022.
Yes,
Yes,
okay, so it's been a
you
year
got
and a
it.
half. So, yeah, so basically, like, I think she signed that lease maybe at the beginning of 2022. I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, midway through through that time, she was like, "Sorry, I'm gonna follow this guy, and he's gonna follow me, and we're gonna do these crazy trips." And of course, going back to the spending, all of her flights were, of course, business class. You know, 4,000, a normal business class ticket to Europe is between anywhere between 4,000 to 6,000. So, you know,
Oh
just
my God.
on top of the other expenses between her rent and everything, it was a lot.
Jesus.
So let's go into Lames's startling and staunch claims that he's made on Twitter and X. And this is just me, and I'm such a very judgy person when it comes to these kinds of things, but I just, as an Enneagram one, I deeply care about credentials. And if you're someone who's based in the science field, the medicine field, the finance field, architecture field, I want you to be able to have a credential to back up whatever you're doing. I don't want a surgeon who learns on TikTok how to perform surgery to perform my heart surgery.
Oh, we were just talking about Botox. Like, there are places in New York that are like jacked and peachy. I only go to a real dermatologist for Botox.
Bingo.
I won't judge you, but just for me, it's my face. Lisa Barlow voice. I know you don't watch Salt. Oh, you started Salt Lake City.
That I
Lisa
do.
Barlow voice. It's my face. It's my face. Like, that's just me. Okay.
Thank you so much for saying that, because in fact, a girlfriend of mine, she goes to Laser away for her Clear and Brilliant. I'm like, girl, they could fuck that up real fast. And these are the
no,
things
no,
you
no,
do
no, no, no.
you do not want to chintz on. You got to go to the professionals for things like this.
Yep.
If I'm going to invest my money into a company, a publicly traded company, I don't want their chief accounting officer to not be a licensed CPA. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
Deeply care
and
about
I'm not
these
saying
things.
I'm not saying that the estheticians at those places aren't qualified, but like I want the most medically qualified. There are levels to this, you know?
Exactly. I don't. Yeah, you're right. That's a fair point to make. It shouldn't be black and white. But I think, yeah, when it comes to my own personal spending and things that are going to impact my health and my face,
right.
You best believe I'm going to the best person. If of course, yeah. So it's, I feel very strongly about this. So
yes,
his whole business is founded upon, he has an app, a small business called Coach James Club. And he prides himself on being a personal trainer, primarily to women. And really quickly, before I dive into the credentials as listed on his website, I was actually curious, not being a fitness professional myself, what credentials does one need to have to become a personal trainer, right? So I went on Equinox's personal training job description, random, you know, and it says, in order to be a personal trainer, you have to be a currently nationally recognized personal training certification required. So just like a basic certification, and you need to be CPR/AED certified. So these are two very seemingly basic things, requirements, in order to get a job as a personal trainer at Equinox. So through my research on the Coach James Club website, it doesn't appear that he has these credentials. It's possible he does and he doesn't list them, but based on what's available on his
but
website.
But if he had them, he would list them.
Right? So this is what his bio. Why don't you read it? I'm curious. Do you have it up?
Okay, I'm reading it. This is my dramatic reading. Whilst...
People love to shit on him for the whilst. It's not while, whilst.
Whilst working in his 9-to-5 office job, James realized that through his passion for fitness and having a healthy mind, he had a greater purpose to help others realize the power of this too. His newfound passion, so many grammatical errors, you guys. His newfound passion led him to talking more about it on his Instagram, which quickly grew in popularity as he began inspiring many to work out, eat well, and work on their self-growth. James' mission to help women, no matter the starting point, become stronger and healthy and discover the best versions of themselves.
That's
oh my
not
God.
Grammatically
this
correct.
It's so nonsensical and grammatically incorrect. That's why he created the Coach James Club, an app and team that is dedicated to inspiring and helping women to live their life to the absolute fullest. That's
so
it.
Keep in mind the use of the term women. He does say he most recently posted that he does train men, but a lot of his audience
is targeting. He's like targeting women.
He's targeting, his demographic is primarily women. He always talks about, I'm blocked by lames, by the way. Like, it's one of my biggest accomplishments. And the reason I'm blocked by lames, and no joke, I've never commented on one single thing. He posted a video about like science or medicine or something of that nature. And someone had responded, can you please list your sources and your credentials to be writing this kind of stuff on online? And I liked the comment and then he blocked me for it. And allegedly he does that a lot too. If you like a comment that goes against what he's saying on the video, he'll block you. And I'm a testament
to that. Oh my
God, this
is so insane. Who has the time for that?
Apparently lames. So people have a lot of questions on like the target demographic and being women. Like he says he does train men,
yeah,
but it's why
weird.
Is that?
It's like Nick. It's like Nick Vial, who like his dating advice is only for women because in his mind he's like, men are good. Like men can do no wrong. Like I always have like a weird, also like men that become OBGYN. Why are you a gyno as a man? Like I have a lot of questions.
Thank you so much for bringing that up. And for anyone whose like dad is like an OB guy, and we're not shitting on your dad, but like
people whose dads are gynos and I trust their dads. Like I know that there are normal male gynos.
100%. But in that vein, there was a kid I went to college with who's kind of like a womanizer, very smart guy, ends up being
a doctor.
And he
became a gyno?
Mm-hmm. So I always kind of pause with that, you know?
Oh my God.
I take a lot of pause with it, but that's exactly right. Why? Right?
Why?
Why? Why?
Yeah. It's like, like of all fields, you had a lot of options, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly. So it's just kind of
like vaginas.
Right. And I think that's what people have a lot of problems with on the Reddit is why are you only targeting a specific group of people?
Right.
Like why? Yeah. It just seems like, and a lot of it is what he touts on his social media is he helps the working mom become like, and there's good, that's fine, right? I'm not yucking on your yum or whatever of how you choose to earn a living. It's just interesting that the target demographic.
It's interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just something to take note of. And I also really want to quickly point out the terms of use on his website. So again, in the same vein of us talking about how important it is to have licenses and credentials, he writes on his website, Coach James Terms of Use, Coach James Club Terms of Use, disclosing that the services, including all meal and workout plans, are provided for general information and entertainment purposes only. We do not offer health, medical, dietary, nutrition, or professional advice, which you or anyone else should rely on. Which is like, isn't that the complete antithesis to what I would be going to you for? To you for? Yeah. Like if I'm attempting to lose weight and want to get nutritional guidance and dietary help, now you're now saying we do not offer medical, dietary, or nutritional advice?
That's actually like, obviously that's a like legality, like loophole, like to get out of if someone decided to sue them. It's like, well, it's on our website that we're not like professionals. You Bingo. Shouldn't listen to us. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. It's like, I get why he's doing it. That. Yeah. I get why he's exactly for legal reasons. He has to write that, but it's more of, well, it's just more of him questioning anyone who goes to anyone who's not a licensed professional.
Right. Exactly.
Question.
Yeah, credentials.
So he has a couple of, again, staunch claims on Twitter, particularly when it comes to the sun. So Rolling Stone posted an article that, again, I'll post on the show notes, but I won't get into the entire thing. But this is, they're basically trolling. Rolling Stone is trolling Lames for urging his followers to not use sunscreen. It says, arguing that the vitamin D produced by the human body when exposed to sunlight make it almost impossible to develop an autoimmune disease. And so he writes on Instagram, think about it for a minute. They, meaning the pharmaceutical and healthcare companies, need you to believe that the sun is bad. He included a pair of images from a TikTok video that made a similar point, suggesting that corporate interests have invented the myth of dangerous ultraviolet radiation from the sun in order to sell you a product. In this case, topical creams and sprays that prevent sunburn and skin cancer that you don't really need. And he's saying sunscreen is a scam, essentially.
That is so fucking dangerous. Like, it's so irresponsible. It's so dangerous. Like, everything else so far, I'm like, if these idiots, like, believe his bullshit, that's on them. But, like, you have a platform and you're literally telling people to not wear sunscreen. Like, the number one rule of not getting skin cancer. Like, oh my God, what an idiot. He sounds like a conspiracy theorist when he's like, they, big pharmacy. Like, oh my God.
No, it's so, like, I'm just very triggered when people talk about big pharma, because my sister's is a licensed pharmacist. Like, I know that there's some issues, right?
There, but
my
sister is, there is big pharma with like the price gouging and stuff like that, right. Obviously.
An addiction, but there's things that big pharma really does help prevent. And I know the science behind it. My sister tells me. So it's, I take huge issue with these kinds of things. And someone actually pointed out to him, kind of calling him out, this person with this handle, CJ Drucker, said, James, with many relatives that have suffered from skin cancer, I beg of you to stop making this your agenda. It's really unprofessional and quite literally dangerous. I guess whoever follows your advice will soon find out the truth about you and your lack of knowledge. And he responds, I'm not saying sit out in the midday sun and fry yourself, but toxic sunscreens, processed foods full of seed oils, not the seed oils, zero sun tolerance buildup, and living under blue lights all day, I mean, not me needing to make a living by being in front of the computer, are a big reason why people get skin damage. It's not the sun.
Oh my God. These bozos. It like pisses me off. It pisses me off, honestly.
It's so irresponsible. And then really quickly, one other thing is he says, he wrote a story on Instagram and it says, but the sun is bad for you, in quotes. And he said, the giver of all life is bad for you. Makes total sense. Then he goes, here's what's bad for you. Let me expand this. Here's what's bad for you. One, lying in the sun in the middle of the day with super high UV index wearing sunglasses, which prevents your body producing melanin, the very thing that protects your skin, and sunscreen with carcinogenics, frying your skin. Two, eating a poor diet full of processed food and seed oils, which increases skin sensitivity and inflammation. Three, not building a sun tolerance up. Morning sun prepares skin for later exposure, triggers skin to produce vitamin D, regulates body's melatonin. 20 to 30 minutes morning sun for the win. Four, if you have fair skin, stay out of the sun during high UV index or wear clothing. If you apply sunscreen, using mineral sunscreen with no carcinogenics. Five, try to build up exposure as days get warmer, short periods of sun, then build it up. Sitting under blue lights all year, then lying in the sun for 2 weeks. Of course, you're going to burn. I don't even know what I just read, to be honest. Not.
Well, like, you can tell that he doesn't believe in sunscreen because he looks like he could be 48. He does.
No, like,
he literally does.
It's like leathery. The texture is very leathery.
Yeah, like his face is like gross.
It's very, ew. It's almost like I need a science experiment, because even in the last year, when Shannon first started posting with him to now, he looks vastly different, and it has to be because of all the sun he's getting.
I mean, yeah, I also feel like I imagine that the vast majority of this audience right now is women. So James's target audience, we have the same, Lames's target audience, and we have the same target audience. So like, whatever. Please wear sunscreen. It's the number one thing you can do to prevent signs of aging. That and retinol. Sunscreen, retinol.
That's exactly what my dermatologist says. She goes, if you can invest in two products in your entire life, people say vitamin C, you know, yes, all that's nice and good.
Everything else is like good. A lot of it is marketing and bullshit.
Yep.
Sunscreen, retinol.
Yep. That's literally the two.
On your face.
Yes. That's what every doctor says. So you should listen. Follow the science and follow the doctors, not some random TikToker.
Oh my God. Ew. I'm sorry. I'm looking at his Instagram right now, and he's just like, ugh.
Yeah. It's like, and he has a lot of really interesting TikToks too. A lot of humping in the TikToks. A lot of.
Wait, is this his like sister? Wait.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, like, why are they like so.
It's like siblings are dating.
Siblings, yeah, my friends and I call it siblings that fuck, STF. Siblings that fuck.
Yeah, it's his whole persona, his whole online persona, and what he claims
on Twitter. Such an ick. Like, it's such an ick. Like, Shannon's actually like attracted to him.
See, that's what I think, because there was this video he posted on his TikTok, and he was dancing with these gray sweatpants in their living room. And it's a very recent one. And he's doing this motion in which you're kind of, you put your hand, you kind of shoot. It's as if you're pushing away any fart that you just let out, that you just expelled. He's going like this, like fanning the fart.
And wait, I think I found what you're talking about.
I think I might have sent it to you.
Is this one?
Oh, that's a different one. That's him salsa dancing. But imagine coming home after like Pilates and seeing your husband having a tripod doing a salsa dance in your living room.
I would never get wet for him again.
Like, imagine Henry.
Oh my God, Henry.
Like, imagine him with a tripod with a ring light.
Which, by the way, Christy loves how normie, quote unquote, my boyfriend is. My now fiance is. He's so normal and such a normie and like barely has a social media presence. And the thought of him dancing in front of a tripod is the funniest thing I've ever thought of.
It brings me so much up. And when I met your fiance on FaceTime, I felt like I was meeting a celebrity. I was like, oh my God. It's Sophie's fiance. It's her boyfriend I see on Instagram all the time.
Not to brag, but he's the opposite of Lames. Not to brag.
And see, this is like, that's a man I would need. The opposite of someone who's a clout chasing social media, has a clout chasing social media presence.
Social media with 261,000 followers. Like, ew. Like, why are you as a man like an Instagram influencer, you know?
Any man that has such a strong social media presence who cares that much about social media makes me raise an eyebrow. I'm just like, why?
And that's definitely like a thing. Like, I feel like that's a thing where like girls are like, ew, like why are you as a man like posting TikToks? Like, that's definitely like a question mark for a lot of, like, do you know, okay, the influencers like Ella Rose and Creme de la Creme.
Clemens. I'm not familiar with Creme de la Creme, but I am familiar with Ella Rose.
Okay, so Ella Rose, basically Ella Rose's ex-boyfriend is this TikToker Jake something. Mm-hmm. Jake, oh my God, I sound so unprofessional not knowing his like last name, but he's some TikToker.
Ex-boyfriend?
Ex-boyfriend. Okay, ex-boyfriend was also dating another influencer named Creme de la Creme, Clemence Lopez, and who also dated Greg Grippo from Bachelor.
Oh, interesting. Who's now dating Victoria Fuller.
Who's now dating Victoria. So It all comes back to Laguna Beach. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm sure it does come back to Laguna Beach if we make enough like connections. But 100%. My point is that this Jake guy, like he's a TikToker, he's an influencer, and he's like dating all of these like beautiful women. It's like, why are they attracted to a TikToker? Like, I'm not, again, not trying to yuck someone's yum, but like, ew.
See, for me being a single girl, if I show my friends someone's Instagram, a guy that I'm interested in, and he has more than 800 followers, it's weird. Like, why is, like, especially if a guy is teetering on like 3,000, 4,000, why?
Also, if he has more like followers than he is following, like, why?
No, it's that's a good, actually, I think that's a really fair benchmark in dating. Like, if you have more followers than who you're following, automatic swipe left.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that's a very good protocol. Yes. I'll be using that in the future. Okay. So let's Again, what's crazy is so much of everything that there's four very, very crucial dates to the fake engagement. And what's crazy is that Dumois actually posted about she talked about it on her podcast. And I remember like, well, my ears kind of perked up because I was like, whoa. Again, the Shannon
Ford subreddit. Wait, you listen to Dumois' podcast?
Shannon McNamara of Fluently Ford shits on me every time because she's like, you suck Dumois' dick. But
yeah, you suck Dumois' dick. Loser, nerd.
No, I'm a subscriber. Like I subscribe to, no, like I pay $2.99. Okay, I recently canceled it.
That's fine. That's fine. I'm not going to make fun of you. I personally like to pretend that Dumois like doesn't exist.
It's almost just kind of, you know what I really like? I like it for the Sunday spotted. I like her. I love to see where the stars are.
See, like, that's what I like. That's when I stopped checking her stories. I was like, I literally don't care.
She's making so much money though. Like she's living the,
that's where we differ. I know. I'm sure she is.
So jealous of her. But
don't be. Okay, sorry, go on.
So she had a podcast episode where she called it out and was like, you guys keep asking me about the Shannon Ford fake engagement. Why do you guys care about this stuff? People keep writing in. I have nothing to say about it. But this kind of just shows you how strong her subreddit presence is because, I mean, we talked about this at the very beginning. Yeah. Us posting a mere story shot my followers up. I've never seen anything like it. It was crazy. And it just shows you how invested these people are in this particular timeline. And I think this is what caused so much hoopla. So,
right.
Again, I went to her Instagram, to Shannon Ford's Instagram, and I also went on a few public records to get these dates. So on June 28th, 2023, so a little over 7 months ago, on her Instagram highlight reel, she has this highlight reel that says first home. And you can go over her entire renovations as well and the home when she first bought it if you're curious. So on that date, June 28th, she signs what I presume to be the deed and she's notarizing all the documents to her new home. June 28th. 3 months later, the subreddit blew up because she announced her engagement to Lames on September 19th. Am I a dyslexic? On September 19th, 2023.
Yes.
So I remember when this happened, my girlfriend Allie called me. Like we had a full on like hour debrief. She's like, we need to talk about this. What are you doing? Everything. We need to talk about this engagement. And everyone on Reddit was blowing the fuck up. Like, holy shit, she finally did it. We didn't think this was actually going to happen. Like, everyone was kind of thinking, hopefully, that she'll break up with him so she could be back in her single girl era. She's better without him, whatever. People were freaking the fuck out. 2 months in November 2023, a Redditor, who's literally the FBI, and let me just make sure I get this username right so I give credit where credit is due. So a person by the name of username significant_dog6784 went to the Tennessee court, pulled up her marriage record, and it shows that they were married on July 25th, 2023. And this
wait,
is
wait, what month of 2023? May?
July 25th, 2023, they were married. So,
July. Okay.
So they got married to August, 2 months before, they were legally married 2 months before they announced their engagement on September 19th, 2023. And what's even crazier is she kept saying in her Instagram stories how she was so proud of being a homeowner. She was like, you know, she had title to the home. A Redditor found, and I was able to pull this up on public record, that the title to her home was modified so that he was now the co-owner on her home. So that created this whole other circus because everyone was like, when did all this happen, right? Between June 20th when she signed her home to to September when that Reddit sleuth found him on the title of her home, like there were so many lies being concocted in between.
Right.
There are so many things happening in between. And what were the conversations that were happening to where, let me just get clear on this chronologically. Let me just say this one more time. June 28th, she signs for her home via her Instagram story, seemingly by herself. Uh-huh. She's the sole title to this home. July 25th, she gets married. So a month later, after she signs the home, they get married via the marriage license that was posted on Reddit. And TMZ actually reported this on Christmas Day of this past year, on December 25th, 2023. 2 months later, on September 14th, she lists James as a co-owner of the home she purchased, and this can be looked up via the Williamson County Property Assessment Database. They got engaged on Instagram on November 2023 on Instagram, even though they had already been married for 4 months at this point. And TMZ reported this on Christmas Day. Quote, the date of the courthouse marriage is listed on papers as July 25th, though it looks like public celebrations began 2 months later, with Shannon flashing her humongous engagement ring in Instagram snaps shared in September. And there's a lot of speculation as to who reported this to TMZ. Like, was it Kristen? Was it the Reddit sleuth? Like, who reported this to TMZ? Also, who cares? But her Reddit presence is so strong. We'll never know, obviously, but I'm so curious, like, who actually leaked it to TMZ.
Do people think that he's like using her for like a green card and like for clout again, clout chaser? Like, is that speculation? That like makes me feel bad for her.
I mean, that's I think is the overall sentiment of people just being sad about she has this huge following that she's built on her own back.
Right. Yeah. Like he seems like I'm not calling him, you know, I'm not assigning any sort of term to him, a scam artist or anything, but he seems kind of shady. He appears that way.
Yeah. I mean, I think based on like everything that we know, right? Just based on the facts alone, he's
no dated, credentials, but no he's credentials. Like pulling out like health and wellness advice, has lots of reality star exes.
Yep.
Like all of it. Like he's shady. The fake proposal. Like when they were already married, like all of it is really, really, really strange.
And I'm so interested in the purpose. And like, listen, like my sister got married to a man who's not a U.S. citizen. Right. And I know the trials and tribulations and what it takes. Right. To stay in a place for longer term. And I get the struggles of that. That I totally empathize with.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And everyone's situation is unique and for themselves. That's not what I'm judging. I'm questioning why be so secretive about, in fact, actually, let me rephrase. If they had come out on September when they posted about their engagement and said, we've already been married, but we wanted to celebrate this in the way that we wanted to. James and I talked about, you know, surprising with the ring when it feels right, but we're legally married for purposes of whatever visa or whatever it may be.
Right.
That would have been fine. But the fact that it was almost layered on this under this guise of we're not already married, we're planning a wedding, but we're already legally married is where calls into question just why. Why not just be honest if your whole brand is honesty and realness?
Yeah, just be honest about it. Be like, so we're already legally married, but James was going to surprise me with like a fun proposal. And exactly. I was totally surprised. Like there's nothing wrong with that.
And I think that would have been fine. And I think that wouldn't have lessened the engagement on her post either, because that post of the engagement got a huge, you know, engagement rate, like more than any of her posts, which engagements usually do. But I don't think her telling the truth would have muddied that.
Taken away from that. Right. I agree. Yeah. It just makes you like be like, wait, so what else are you being shady about?
Right. You know? Right. And I think people are thinking as well. I mean, ultimately, I think this comes down to engagement means more following, means more money too. So maybe, but again, it goes back to if you had just been the truth, I don't think the money would have been any less, right? It's just, it's very strange. It's very strange. And I'm so curious into just the psyche of what goes into these decisions, right? Because I don't know if she has a specific team helping her or if she's just, maybe she has a publicist. I don't know. They've never publicly spoken about the engagement. The only thing that she's done to acknowledge, as far as I know, is someone commented on her Instagram. Did you keep her? Someone commented on one of Shannon's friends, maybe Taylor's. Did you keep her secret about already being married to James and staging the fake engagement? Or was it really a surprise to you? And then someone under the handle, I won't even say it, but someone responds to that comment and goes, "This comment is truly so bizarre and perpetually online behavior. You are this upset about the engagement process of someone you have never met, so much so that it hurt you. Everyone deserves their special moment regardless of how it uniquely unfolds for them. Other people's lives aren't scripted to satisfy your desires. The parasocial tendencies might be getting a little too intense for you. There is grass to be touched." And then Shannon responds to that person's comment and goes, "Please let me know how I can send you $3 million in naming rights to my firstborn. Thank you." But that's, as far as I know, as far as she's gotten to actually ever addressing the quote-unquote fake engagement rumors.
You know, this could be a whole conversation about parasocial relationships. Like, we all have them. I just... obviously your fans have been along for this ride. They support you. Your fans are the reason that you can walk into a Chanel store and purchase multiple things. So like, what, you know, there's so many questions about what do you owe your followers? What do you owe your quote unquote fans? I guess technically nothing, but I think you do, like, if you are in that situation that Shannon's in, you do kind of owe them something. You owe them the truth when it comes to something like that, because they've been along for the ride with you and they've supported you for so long. They've paid your bills. They've paid for your renovations of your new freaking build house, which is like so freaking dumb to begin with. So yeah, I would say you do owe your followers the truth in this scenario.
Thank you so much for bringing that up, because I think this speaks exactly to what you're saying about parasocial relationships and what do influencers owe their followers. And I think exactly like you said, because her life is, she details her life so intensely and so detailed, and every hour it seems like she's posting to her stories, people are along this journey, they feel as if they're owed the truth to that story, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think it's
so, right?
Yeah, rightfully so. Agreed. And it just makes me, people question the legitimacy of anything else you're going to post if it's under this guise of like a veiled, just, what's the word? It's just not, it doesn't feel real, right?
And it doesn't feel real. And I mean, it's the same shit with, like, not to bring up like Ariel Charnas again, but Ariel Charnas's, you know, life seems to have been in full chaos mode for the past few months with her husband under investigation for insider trading. Again, if you don't know about this, is another rabbit hole to fall into, I'm sure. She doesn't have her own dedicated snark subreddit, but there's a lot about her in like the NYC influencer snark subreddit. Like that, and then her company is going bankrupt. Her company just got bought for $1.
Yep.
But then like, if you go to her Instagram, you would never know. It's just like, "Hey guys, here's the link for my $5,000 coat from The Row." Like, it just feels so disingenuous. And just like, again, it's like, that's some people's MO, but don't pretend to be some authentic, like, you know, truth teller. Like, "Oh my God, guys, like, I have anxiety," which she does all the time, which is, you know, great. I'm so glad you're talking about your anxiety, but like, you're so full of shit.
I was talking about the unrelatability of influencers and the rise of micro influencers with Shannon McNamara Fluently Forward on her Patreon.
Shannon Fluently Forward.
And I was telling her, I was saying, you know, Ariel Charnas had this post recently and she said, "You know, I bought this skirt from Prada and it fits me like a glove after I got it tailored, and you guys would love this skirt. Just call up your local Prada store for this skirt. Call up your local Prada store." And I was telling Shannon, it's giving, why don't you just call Taylor up? Like, it's just so unrelatable to where I cannot follow you in seriousness anymore. I cannot relate to you.
It's insane. And also, it's like, we know from what's been in the news that your company isn't doing well. Your husband is in trouble for insider trading and potentially going to prison. Why are you buying, you know, $4,000 Prada skirts? Like, I have questions. Like, that doesn't feel like a wise decision. What is happening? And also, like, you're just, it's like the Shannon Ford spending. Like, you are not an heiress. You are not, because there are some people that like can literally spend that much and it's nothing to them. Billionaires, heiresses, like, we know there are some of them that are like on Instagram.
Yeah.
We know that you come from a family of billionaires. fine, spend whatever you want. Anyone, honestly, it's your money. You can spend it however you want. But it's just like, of course, we have like some questions about how you are able to afford this and why you are choosing to make that decision. I just think it's like, I don't know if I trust your judgment in this moment.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think with the spending too, it portrays, and I think this is why the rise of influencers is going to start going down over the next couple of years, because it almost feels as if they're, I mean, and I'm guilty of this too, right? And I'm not even an influencer. When you go on vacation, I want to pick out a good outfit so that I can get a cute picture in it, right? And we're all guilty of this to some degree. But I think the line between reality and Instagram becomes very blurred. And for Shannon Ford, I'm starting, my question when I look at her stuff is, especially with all this unraveling about the marriage and the deed and all these things, what are you doing for Instagram versus what are you just doing for yourself? Like, what actually makes you happy? And it genuinely makes me sad from the bottom of my heart to see someone, if she is struggling, it seems like it's just a very empty life, no matter how many handbags you have, no matter how many renovations you do.
Like, is that what fulfills you? And it's like, look, I can be just as materialistic as the next girl when it comes to things that I love. You know how some people are like, we were just talking about how you're not like super into jewelry. I'm not a huge jewelry girl. I'm like a handbag girl. Like, talk about like Chanel, like whatever it is. I love investing in a good handbag. That is not what ultimately fulfills me at the end of the day. It gives me a rush. It gives me, you know, pheromones.
Like a dopamine hit. Like it.
Dopamine.
Yes. I totally know, but like pheromones too, baby. It's like,
I'm such a dumbass. But you know what I mean? Like, I feel like sometimes you look at some of these influencers and, you know, it's like, is that, and especially, you know, not to bring up Ariel Charnas again.
But she's like a good example. I'm glad you bring it,
because I think she's a great example, because you know that behind the scenes there's chaos in her life. And it seems the only thing that brings her joy and makes her feel fulfilled. She smiles so much when she's doing a try-on haul after going to the Ro sample sale. Like, that is what brings her joy. That is what fulfills her. And that's honestly kind of sad, because material goods are just material goods. That's
right.
It's empty. It's emptiness at the end of the day.
I couldn't have said it better myself. And I think I'm very curious to see how this all unravels as the years come. And like, listen, like I hope she's happy at the end of the day. Like, maybe this whole thing is a projection of my own insecurities or whatever, but it, from what I've seen, it just seems very empty. And I want her to be happy ultimately at the end of the day. So I wish
that for her. And I agree. Again, it's like, I know I said at the beginning of the episode that I'm like indifferent towards her. I think at this point, I honestly am just like, she sounds like she has some shit going on in her life. You know, it's not all it appears to be, not to sound like a broken record, but Instagram is a highlight reel. And yeah, I just wish her the best.
Yeah,
like, I want happiness for her, because yeah, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't trade places with her. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely echo everything you're saying. And really quickly, before we end the episode, I want to just speak really quickly on just what people think about the entire engagement.
Yes.
And like why they think it seems sus, similar to the theory that they met on Raya. So if you go to her Instagram, you'll see that she has an entire engagement, like camcorder video, very much Kardashian-esque.
She was wearing white to her proposal.
Exactly. So people have theories on Reddit that this engagement was staged, which I think, you know, with all these dates, I think we can reasonably assume that it was in fact staged. But so she wore a white dress and was in full glam. They brought a camcorder, which is like a random thing to bring if you're just going out on the lake.
On her boat, exactly.
Where she's exactly. And there was really nice crystal glasses on board, which is a random thing to bring onto a little dinghy boat if you're just going on the lake. They had like Dom Perignon or like Veuve or something like that on the boat. They had this beautiful charcuterie board that she brought. And this is why people think, they're like, wow, this just seems like they knew exactly what they were doing to develop this content. And it goes back to what we were talking about. What's the difference between Instagram versus reality? What are you staging to make it a moment between you and your new husband? Or your fiance, whatever it may be at the time. versus what are you doing for Instagram engagement? It's fascinating. Yeah. And I want to show you her ring. If you go to where my mouse is, what do you think of it? Being a newly engaged woman yourself, what are your thoughts?
It's not my taste personally. It's extremely gaudy, in my opinion.
It's very gaudy.
It's gaudy. It's, again, new money is what it is giving.
People found it on the website. She keeps promoting this jewelry company called RW Fine. And I don't know if she's specifically said that she did a partnership with them or hashtag ad. I don't think she's ever said that, but they found like the ring that looked very similar. But then she says it was a custom built ring. So I don't know. But yes, it's humongous. It looks very gaudy. And people often compare it to Claire's on their subreddit.
It looks a little costumey. And then like costumey. Her caption too. Her caption feels like such a, like she was planning it forever. For once, it's not a probably.
I was thinking, I was like, she's had that caption in her notes app for years.
Yes.
At least since she got engaged to with James or whatever.
Yes. Oh my God.
So one last thing I want to say that's just interesting.
And
so
the bezel, the band, everything about it is just like a lot. There's a lot happening. I'm sorry.
And I think it's so on brand for her though. You know, it is a lot.
Yeah, exactly. That's her whole shtick is like new money.
Very flashy. Yeah. New money.
The one
last thing I want to bring up is when, as I mentioned, TMZ scooped the story on December 25th on Christmas Day of 2023 and, you know, exposing her quote unquote fake engagement, the fake marriage. And I've linked that article in the show notes as well. So they did a quick, it wasn't even an expose. It was just a quick little stint of, oh, she had an engagement, but she was actually married back in July. Lames and Shannon never actually acknowledged it. And a lot of people from the subreddit were posting on both of their pages saying, are you guys going to address the TMZ article? Are you going to address the TMZ article? And she never really did except that one post I already talked about. But there was a tweet from Lames over the holiday, like doubling down and referring to her as his fiance. And everyone was just very curious about do you have any theory as to whether this leak to TMZ could have potentially been from either of Lames or Shannon's camps? Do you think there could be any probable theory to that?
But if they're not addressing it, I guess like all press is good press, as they say. But like if they're not addressing it and it seems like they kind of like duped their followers, then why would that be a good look for them? Like I feel like it's just like a bad look for them.
Yeah.
Who cares enough about them for them to be in TMZ? On the other hand, like
that,
they're not
outside of the TMZ. Right. That's why I get confused as well, because I think if you're in like, you said it really well in your Ariel Charnas episode, when you're part of this very niche specific group of influencers, people feel vehemently about it. Like they care more about this than Selena Gomez or whoever the fuck she's dating. They care mostly about the influencers. True. So we're a small but very mighty little niche of people. But again, to the wider TMZ public that reports on A-list celebrities, this is like a flash in the pan. I don't know why TMZ would otherwise report it unless I'm very confused on who would leak this. I just don't understand. Maybe it was Kristen Cavallari.
So like the fact that Shannon and Kristen, like they still haven't spoken, even though they're both like public figures with like podcasts. Shannon's at Dear Media. Do you know Kristen's?
So, I'm pretty sure Kristen is as well. Yeah. I didn't even put that together.
That's so interesting.
That's a good arc. Like I didn't even think of that, but yeah, I'm pretty sure because Kristen has that. She definitely had Back to the Beach with Dear Media. And I think her like Tell It How It Is podcast is certainly with Dear Media as well.
Oh my God. I want them to like, you know, run into each other at the studio.
Didn't Shannon and James have kind of like a quick, I don't know if they didn't date, but didn't they kind of hang out after Kristen and I could be making that up, but I could have sworn
after,
I might have read
after
that.
Kristen and what?
Jay divorced. Didn't Shannon and Jay like hang out?
Oh, I remember that being like a rumor.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I forgot about that.
So maybe Kristen has an axe to grind with Shannon. This is all speculation, but I did think through that.
Oh my God.
Kristen would have like the access, right, to people she knows at TMZ. They would listen to her. Or at least maybe like Justin Anderson or something.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. I remember that being a rumor. It's not confirmed, but like it was like, I remember there was this photo of Jay like at a bonfire outside and there was like a girl's hand and people were like, is that Shannon? Is it like so and so? Like they thought it was someone connected to Kristen right after him and Kristen split.
I think I know who you're talking about, and it wasn't Shannon. I think it was that dark-haired woman that
It was
Kristen
like
was
another
super.
one.
Yes,
Yeah.
but I do know what you're referring to, which is
And
sad
also,
because I.
Shannon had no, at that point, Shannon had no like loyalty to Kristen, you know?
Exactly. Like it wouldn't be a crime if she hung out with Jay, but it would
Right. I
be
think who it actually
shady.
was someone who was like actually friends with Kristen. I don't know. I barely remember, but yeah.
Yeah, it's all very interesting. So what are your takeaways, Sophie, being a fairly new snarker to this entire
Yeah,
saga?
now
Like, what
I
are your
feel like
takeaways?
I feel like I know so much. I mean, my takeaways are that I think Lames is the villain in the story. I really do. Like I don't, you know, again, like I said at the beginning, I was like, I'm indifferent towards Shannon. I still kind of am. Like, if anything, I feel bad for her. I think Lames is, you know, not a great guy. You know, prove me wrong though. Like I wish them all the happiness. I wish them only the best. Except honestly, no, Lames, I don't wish you the best because you told your followers, you told your thousands of followers that sunscreen is bad for you.
So
So yeah,
irresponsible.
fuck Lames. Fuck Lames. And also, yeah, Shannon, I think, you know, isn't as authentic as she purports to be. And needs to. I hope she has a financial advisor in her life. I assume
Oh,
she
me too.
does, but she's clearly not listening to them. And I think she needs to start planning for the future instead of trying to get a rush, that dopamine rush, that pheromone rush
Pheromone
from,
rush,
you
yeah.
know, the quick designer purchases. It's just that's not the way to go about, you know, having that coming into money, you
Yeah,
know?
totally. And I'm very anxious to kind of see the marriage content with when they officially declare themselves as married once they're planning a wedding in Italy. Of course, because of
Oh,
course
of
you're going to
course they
Italy.
are. They're so cliche.
It's
They're so cliche. So new money. Like, oh
so.
my God, of course.
Like in the Amalfi Coast, no less. Like, oh my
Of
God,
course.
be more original. It's
Yeah, like where
ridiculous.
else? Where else, you know?
So, and I bet you she's gonna get like the most expensive designer gown,
And
like
they're
their
gonna
wedding.
honeymoon, they're gonna do a honeymoon safari.
They're doing. I think she said they're gonna prance jaunt around. God, I am so pathetic for knowing this. She's like, we're gonna jaunt around Italy after the wedding to stay in
Oh,
the
okay.
country.
Well,
Well,
of
same
course.
shit. Same
Yeah, same
shit.
thing. Same thing.
Americans love Italy.
Yeah.
They love. I mean, you can go to Portugal with the same experience for half the price. And
Yeah, fuck Italy. Yeah.
yeah, and that's someone I lived in Italy for 3 months. Like it's great, but Portugal is just as good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Sophie. This was such a fun episode. Can you tell
Yeah.
everyone where to find you? You guys, you have to subscribe to her Substack, and I'll post it in the show notes as well. You have great recommendations. You have great style. I always buy from all your like
Oh my
to
God.
knowits.
Christy is like the only person that really cares about my like clothing links,
I
but
text
she
her. I'm like,
does.
hey, where'd you get that? Can you post that?
Yeah,
Thanks.
yeah. So I sometimes post like links, not to tout myself like an influencer. I just like to shop, but also in an affordable way, you know? Like I not in a
Totally.
Shannon Ford way or Arielle Charnas way. I'm on Instagram at Soph underscore Ross. I'm way more fun on Twitter at Soph Ross with four S's. I'm on Ryan Bailey's podcast, So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, every other Monday for a pop culture roundup. We talk about everything from just what's going on in pop culture. We're recording later today, actually, and we're probably going to be talking about Gypsy Rose, Southern Charm, all the Housewives.
Southern Charm
There's a
is
lot.
so good.
I know
Oh my
it's so
God.
good this season. There's a lot happening in the Bravoverse right now. And then my podcast will hopefully be back this year. So True with Sophie Ross. And then also my Substack, which has also been on hiatus for a little bit, but I'm also jumping back into it. I've had a busy, you know, I got engaged, I got a puppy, I went to prison.
What?
No, I'm kidding. I was quoting Luann de Lesseps.
Oh. I was like, wait, what? thought so you meant you did like charity work. I was like, huh?
No, it's been a little busy, but I write about pop culture when I have the time too. So like, just follow me on social media and you'll see my updates. So
love that.
Yeah, thank you, Christy, for giving me the rundown on Shannon Ford. Finally, I feel like I get it. I understand the subreddit. I will be following along in the subreddit, and
you got it.
Like Christy, you are just the ultimate Shannon Ford historian, and I applaud you and thank you for your work.
I don't know whether to be proud, humbled, embarrassed, but I appreciate that. Thank you guys all for listening. You know where to find me at X Knows All, and thank you so much for listening. And please be nice. Like, I know, please be nice.
Yeah, you guys, please be nice about our voices. We know there's not much we can do about it. And yeah, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.